Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnu Bhad Purman Subhadi Braj Kacharja Shtota Dasatashi Shimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Bhad Paramahansa Paribhraj Kacharya Shtota Dasata Shri Shrimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Brindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokubinath Sham Kunradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Jamanamayi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Brindaki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We could indeed.
I'm not trying to introduce you.
There's something to be said for 7-4, isn't there? Thank you all very much for coming. You might like to move up, especially those who are on the floor toward the back, since more people might come. Yeah, there you go. Feel entitled to a front row seat. And yes, that is the second thing, a mobile check. If you could check your mobiles and see that they're quiescent. Set here. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 7th chapter, text 4. Oh, you have a new friend today. Okay, we'll give you a chance. Bhumirapo nalovayu Kammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti ame vinna prakritir ashtadha. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated material energies. Purport. The science of God analyzes the constitutional position of God and his diverse energies. Material nature is called prakriti, or the energy of the Lord, in his different purusha incarnations, expansions, as stated, as described in the Sattvata Tantra. Vishnostu trini rupani Purushakyanyato vidu ekam tu mahatashrashtir ekam tu mahatashrashtir tritiyam twanda sangstitam tritiyam sarvabhutastam bhutani gatva vimuchate. For material creation, Lord Krishna's plenary expansion assumes three Vishnus. The first one, Mahavishnu, creates the total material energy known as the Mahat Tattva. The second, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, enters into all the universes to create diversities in each of them. The third, Kshirdakshay Vishnu, is diffused all over as the all-pervading Supersoul in all the universes and is known as Paramatma. He is present even within the atoms. Anyone who knows these three Vishnus can be liberated from material entanglement. Om Agyana Timinandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kodamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra. He Krishna Korana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshako Patrubhyascha Kripasindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This first sentence is quite important. The science of God analyzes the constitutional position of God and his diverse energies. Prasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. The personality of Godhead has diverse energies. Just as a fire has light and heat, these are energies of fire, so the Supreme Lord also has energies. Eka desha stitasyagnir jyotsna vistarini yata parasya brahmana shakti tateda makilam jagat. Just as a fire, suppose if we had a nice fire in a corner of the room, the heat and light of the fire would spread throughout the room. So we would feel the fire, even if we were sitting in a different corner. We would say, oh, the fire is so nice. And we would appreciate the presence of the fire, even though the fire might be way over here and we might be over there. Because the fire would be present throughout the room by its energy, its heat and its light. Even now there's a fire someplace which is giving nice heat throughout the room. We don't see that fire, but we know by the presence of the heat that somewhere there's a fire, and all of us in all the different parts of the room are feeling the warm energy of that fire. So in a similar way, Krishna is present everywhere by his energy. The heat is also his energy. Light is also his energy. Everything is his energy. He has diverse energies. Principally, there are three. One is his internal energy, the spiritual energy that manifests the kingdom of God. And the second is the material energy, which manifests this material world. And the third is the marginal energy, the living beings who are called marginal because they're between the two. We don't belong to this material energy, but we're not quite situated in the spiritual energy. Or when we come under the influence of the spiritual energy, then we go that way. When we're influenced by the material energy, we go the other way. So we're marginal. Like the sand on the beach, when the tide is low, the sand is above, and when the tide is high, the sand is under. So we're sometimes attracted to the material side, sometimes the spiritual side. Therefore, we're called marginal living beings. Okay, there were two of those. I got one. I'll get the other one another time. Yes. Egadesha stitas yagnir. So, material, spiritual, and marginal energies. These are the three energies of the Supreme Lord. Without energy, there's no meaning to the idea of God. God must have various energies. Otherwise, what does it mean to be God? We have energy. We have some strength. We have some power of different kinds. So why should God be without energy? if someone's, as we say, God is all-powerful, that means you have to have power. If you don't have power, then how can you be called all-powerful? The two things must be there. The power and the owner of the power. And power may be of different kinds. Strength. Just like here we say money is power. A person has money. That's a kind of energy. But also knowledge is power. The different ways that power may be manifest. A man may have different kinds of energy, his money, his influence in different ways, his brain power. So here, there are eight energies of Krishna that are being described. Let's see. First, we'll read something more. The material world is a temporary manifestation of one of the energies of the Lord. That's the external energy. All the activities of the material world are directed by the three Vishnu expansions of Lord Krishna. Krishna is the original person, and he expands himself in different forms. We have some experience that someone is, say, a big television star, and he expands himself by appearing in thousands of television sets. So he's one person, but he appears in many places in the television expansions. So, of course, those are not independent. They're all manifestations of the same person. So Krishna expands himself, not exactly the same way. He expands himself in different personal forms. And those personal forms each act individually. For material creation, he has a form called Mahavishnu. That form further expands as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. That form further expands as Kshiradakshay Vishnu. Vishnu. So these Vishnu expansions are partial manifestations of Krishna. And they're involved in material creation. Krishna himself, in his original form, doesn't get involved with the business of creating the material world. For that, he expands himself. He expands himself. And that expansion
runs the material creation. So it's a great technology, the technology of Godhead and his expansions. But in summary, Krishna has an expansion called the Mahavishnu, who has two others, Garbhadakshay, Kshiradakshay. These three Vishnus run the material world. Yes. These three Vishnus, Purushas, are called incarnations. Generally, one who does not know the science of God, Krishna, assumes that this material world is for the enjoyment of the living entities, and that the living entities are the Purushas, the causes, controllers, and enjoyers of the material energy. That's quite common. We think this is our world, man and his world. It's ours to do with as we think best. We're in control and we can enjoy this world. But actually the world is not under our control. It's under the control of Krishna. And we're under the control of Krishna. So this atheistic conclusion is false, according to Bhagavad Gita. In the verse under discussion, it is stated that Krishna is the original cause of the material manifestation. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms this. The ingredients of the material manifestation are separated energies of the Lord. Even the Brahmajyoti, which is the ultimate goal of the impersonalists, is a spiritual energy manifested in the spiritual sky. There are no spiritual diversities in the Brahmajyoti as there are in the Vaikuntha lokas, and the impersonalist accepts this Brahmajyoti as the ultimate eternal goal. The Paramatma manifestation is also a temporary all-pervasive aspect of the Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. The Paramatma manifestation is not eternal in the spiritual world. Therefore, the factual absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is the complete energetic person, and he possesses different separated and internal energies. That's quite thick, isn't it? There's a lot there, a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas, a lot of information about the personality of Godhead. The ingredients of this material world are his energies. And the another energy of the Lord, or manifestation of the Lord's energy, is the Brahmajyoti. The Brahmajyoti is the spiritual light of Godhead. For those who conceive of God as being a spiritual force, that force is actually the energy of Krishna. Just as some, we might think of the sun as a great force, but it's not actually the sun itself is not a force, it's a source of power. It's not actually power, but he's the source of power. Just like sometimes it might be said that, Sweden is a great power in Europe. So actually, it's not that Sweden is a power, but Sweden has power. Sweden has natural resources, Sweden has money, Sweden has influence of different kinds. So we say Sweden is a great power. What we mean is that Sweden is a possessor of great power. In fact, if you've never been to Sweden, you might just think of Sweden in terms of its power, its influence, its, you know, whatever way that might be manifest. So God, for those who are not intimately familiar with him, is perceived by his energy. Just like, suppose America, because I don't know what goes on with Sweden very much, but America is a great power because that is a great air force, a great navy, a great army. It's got tanks and guns and all that kind of stuff. So if one happens to come in touch probably unfortunately, with the power of America, then you're experiencing America by its power, its firepower, its manpower, its naval power, its air power. So these are all powers. But America itself, the nation, is the source of all that power. But the country is manifest all over the world by this power. It's in the Middle East, it's in who knows where it is, but it's all over the place. So this is America manifest by its power. Or the sun, to take a more benign example, is present by its power, its sunshine, all over the world. It's here in Sweden, it's in America, it's in France, it's in Spain, it's in Australia, all over the world, or all over the universe, the sun is experienced by its power. We don't actually go to the sun and know what the sun is like, but we feel the power of the sun. We feel the presence of the sun by its power. Similarly, God is experienced by his power. In the material world, there are diverse material energies. In the spiritual world, there are diverse spiritual energies. And there's also the impersonal display of power in which there's no diversity at all. It's a kind of diffuse and vague power. We don't quite know what it is. It's there, but we can't make out any varieties in it. That's called the Brahmajyoti. There are no spiritual diversities or material diversities in the Brahmajyoti. It's just power, power, power. But exactly what kind of power is hard to say. But in the spiritual world, the Lord has various spiritual energies that are displayed, manifesting eternal, blissful, spiritual existence. And in the material world, he has different energies also, which are described in this verse. In the material energy, the principal manifestations are eight, as above mentioned. Out of these, the first five, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, are called the five gigantic creations, or the gross creations, within which the five senses are, sense objects are included. They are the manifestations of physical sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. Material science comprises these 10 items and nothing more. Okay, so these are called Pancha Mahabhutas, five great elements: earth, water, fire, air, and akash, or sky. And they're associated with different sense objects. That means different. What's a sense object? Like form is a sense object. For what sense? Yeah, sense of sight. With our sense of sight, we see forms, circles and squares and different colors and so on. We see form. Similarly, there's touch. Similarly, there's hearing. There's sound for the sense of hearing. So for all of these, yes, come on in. For all of these five senses, there are objects of the senses. The ears don't perceive form. They perceive sound. The eyes don't perceive sound. They perceive form. The skin perceives touch. The tongue perceives taste. These elements are associated, sorry, these objects of sense perception are associated with different elements. For the akash or sky, sound is the element perceived. Earth, water, fire, air. For air, the sense of touch. We have our skin, and there's some air circulating within the pores according to Ayurvedic knowledge, and the air is necessary to facilitate the sense of touch. Then there's fire, which is associated with form. You can see fire. And without fire, you can't see. If there's no fire or electric light or so on, in other words, if the room is dark, that's it for form. You can't see form. So form and fire are associated. Similarly, water. Water is associated with which object of sense perception? Taste, yes. Just when there's always the tongue has some water on it, and with the presence of the tongue with the water, you can taste something. If the tongue is too dry, you can't taste. And when you taste some, when you drink some water and then taste something, well, then it's facilitated. So in with water, there's taste. And finally, with earth, there's smell. The earth is associated with smell. In water, there's no smell. Pure water has no smell. But you mix in something from the earth, and you get smell. So these five great elements are associated with five objects of sense perception. And the Prabhupada says science is studying these things. But the other three items, namely mind, intelligence, and false ego, are neglected by the materialists. These are subtle elements. You can perceive the gross elements, but they're progressively grosser. The earth is very tangible. Water is a little more slippery. Fire is still more subtle. You can't take fire and put it in a package and measure it out by the liter. Similarly, air is still more subtle. You can't even see it. So these elements are listed from gross to subtle. So more subtle than the air is akash, or the sky, or ether. Exactly what's meant by ether is difficult to understand because it's subtle. It's sometimes translated as space, not in the sense of outer space where we send our projectiles, but in the sense of actual space. Every one of us needs our space. Right? We all need some space. But what is that space? It's not something that you can hold. It's not something you can touch. It's not something you can smell. Or actually you can't see. You could see something filling space, like this microphone you can see, but the space it occupies you can't actually see. So space itself is a subtle thing. You can't go to the grocery store and say, you know, excuse me, I'd like 1 liter of space. It's subtle, but it's absolutely necessary. Without space, you don't have space for anything. There's no place to put anything, no place to be without space. So space is necessary to accommodate everything that exists, but space is hard to put your finger on. It's subtle. It's subtle. The Vedic literature also says that electronic images are actually existing within space. You know, when people are called, when we're calling one another on our Nokia or Ericsson phones, where is that sound when it's between the two phones? It's somewhere in space. In space means what? Where is it? You know, is it? It's hard to understand. It's a subtle thing, but it's there. And if you could go deep into space, if you could penetrate space and understand what space is, you'd find all of these subtle images, all the everything from the television stations and the radio stations and the phone messages and people's wireless, and everything would be there within space, and more also. Space is very subtle in what it, the way it accommodates things. Subtle element. But more subtle than that is the mind. Mind is extremely subtle. The mind needs only to think of India and it can be there in a second. The mind can go from here to the moon and back in a moment. Such a subtle thing. Mind. We can't see it, we can't touch it. We know it's there. Sometimes we really know it's there. It gives us a hard time. You say, my mind is... can't keep my mind off this or on this. So we know that the mind is there, but it's a subtle thing. The Vedic literature says that we can understand these elements by their characteristics. Just as you can understand water by its characteristic, it flows, you can mix it with things, and then you get more of whatever that thing is. It dissolves things. You can understand something about water. You can understand something about fire. So we can understand something about mind by its functions also. Especially the mind accepts something and rejects something. So I see something in a store window. I say, I'd really like to have that. Then I think, nah, I don't want that. Flip-flop. The mind is going accepting and rejecting, accepting and rejecting. I'd like this. No, I don't like it. Yeah, I'd want it. No, I don't want it. Well, I kind of, I don't know, I'm hungry. No, I'm not really that hungry. And the mind is going on like that. But higher than the mind is the next element, intelligence. Intelligence also is still more subtle. Again, we don't see it. You can't buy it. But its function is discrimination. The mind just goes back and forth. I like it, I don't like it. I think so, I don't think so. Maybe, well, nah. But the intelligence analyzes. What would be the benefit of this? Can I afford it? Is it worthwhile? Is it coming from a good company? Is it guaranteed by the manufacturer? How long will it last? What's the cost of maintaining it? What kind of supplies does it need to stay in shape? On and on and on. I analyze, and then I make a decision. Yes, this is something that I should get. And because the intelligence has decided, now it's fixed. Otherwise, the mind will go on all day and night saying, well, maybe, no, I don't think so. Well, maybe, no, no. Well, this is the higher element, intelligence, which is therefore meant to control the mind. And higher than the intelligence is the false ego. The false ego is the most subtle material element. You could almost say it's not an element, but it is. What is that element? It's the touching place between matter and spirit. Just as there's the touching place between my two fingers. It's neither my thumb nor my finger, it's the place where they touch. So the touching place between matter and spirit is called false ego. Actually, these two don't need to be in touch. They shouldn't be. Why should matter be in touch with spirit? Or rather, why should spirit be in touch with matter? Why should the superior energy be in touch with the inferior energy? But they are in touch because of false ego. False ego is that very subtle point at which the spiritual being misidentifies with matter. That's called, I'm eternal by nature, but I identify with something which is not eternal. That's called false ego. I identify with something that I'm not. And that false ego is the source, then, of all the rest of the material manifestations. In fact, Prabhupada says, philosophers who deal with mental activities are also not perfect in knowledge because they do not know the ultimate source, Krishna. The false ego, I am and it is mine, which constitute the basic principle of material existence, includes 10 sense organs for material activities. Yes, that means that within the false ego, the whole rest of the package is there. The false ego includes all of these senses. Intelligence refers to the total material creation called Mahatattva. Therefore, from the 8 separated energies of the Lord are manifest the 24 elements of the material world, which are the subject matter of Sankhya, atheistic philosophy. They are originally offshoots from Krishna's energies and are separated from him. But atheistic Sankhya philosophers with a poor fund of knowledge do not know Krishna as the cause of all causes. The subject matter for discussion in the Sankhya philosophy is only the manifestation of the external energy of Krishna as it is described in the Bhagavad Gita. But this Sankhya philosophy referred to, Sankhya means counting. The Sankhya philosophy counts the material elements, analyzes them, discusses them, but misses the point of their source. That's the point that Srila Prabhupada's making here. It counts them up into 24 different material elements, but it misses that the source of all these elements is Krishna. So it's just getting... we're just spinning around looking at all of these different energies, all these different elements, and not looking at the source. Even if you take modern material science, a little different from Sankhya, but still, it's doing the same thing. It's looking into atomic energy, it's looking into solar energy, it's looking into this energy, that energy, hydraulic energy, but it doesn't ask what is the source of these all these energies. It doesn't ask what is the original source of all these energies. But that's the ultimate philosophical question. Where do all these energies come from? That's Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhuvo mata sarvam pravartate. All these energies come from Krishna. Therefore, sarva karana karanam. Krishna is the cause of everything. And everything we see is Krishna's energy. It's called his separated energy because it's working automatically under Krishna's direction. But it's still Krishna's energy. And if we want to understand things perfectly, we need to understand not only the energy, but the source, Krishna. Modern education examines the energy, but it doesn't look for the source. So it's so deficient, so incomplete. But the Vedic system of knowledge looks especially to the source. What is the source of everything? And what is my relationship to that source? What is my relationship with Krishna? And how can I get back into that eternal relationship? The chanting is meant for that purpose. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This chanting is the transcendental vibration for reviving our eternal relationship with Krishna, calling for Krishna to pull us out of this material energy and restore us to our natural position in the spiritual energy. That's possible by the grace of Krishna, and we can receive Krishna's grace by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, are there some questions? Yes. An intellectual and an intelligent man?
Yeah, because nowadays they say that you get intelligent by going so many years to school, but in a speak with
actually, the intelligent man is the person who surrenders to Krishna. The person who may be very highly educated, but who doesn't look for Krishna or approach Krishna, is called Maya Pratigana, a person whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. Real intelligence is to know Krishna. Real intelligence is to know Krishna. Yajanti hu sumedasa, in the present age, the intelligent person will chant this Hare Krishna to come in touch with the source of creation, with the source of everything. And the less intelligent person will simply go on talking and writing books and reading books and speculating and whatever. Real intelligence is to connect ourselves with the Supreme Intelligence, to connect ourselves with Krishna. Or real intelligence is, from another point of view, to ask myself, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Why am I subjected to suffering in the material world? How can I get out of that suffering? If a person doesn't ask those questions, how is he intelligent? If he just asks, how can I eat better? How can I sleep better? How can I get better sex? How can I fight better? He's not asking any questions that go beyond what the animals are interested in. The animals are eating, sleeping, having sex, and fighting. If the human being uses his intelligence only for that, he's a sophisticated animal, that's all. The animals have intelligence, but that's what they use it for. Suppose you have some milk. You're in your kitchen, and you've got the milk sitting in a little bowl on your kitchen table. The cat is sitting there, someplace in the corner, and eyeing the milk and thinking, wouldn't it be nice to lap up that milk? So the cat is also intelligent. The cat waits till you leave the kitchen and then jumps up on the kitchen table and laps up the milk. That's intelligence. Cat is not stupid. He's very smart. But what is the object of his intelligence? How to eat nicely. It's all about eating. That's intelligence, but that's as far as it goes. The cat can't ask, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Where did I come from? Doesn't ask. Just, how do I get the milk? How do I get the milk? How do I get the milk? So if the human being is simply interested, how do I get food? How do I eat nicely? He's, you know, a two-legged cat. He's not a human being, really. If he's just using his intelligence, okay, now how can I get some sex tonight? And, you know, people put all sorts of thought into that. All sorts of, they make plans, they come up with schemes, they do all sorts of things. And the animals have sex without so much work. But it's the same business. As sleeping, you know, we have water beds and this and that. But sleeping is sleeping, finally. It's the engagement of the animals and the human beings both. But if you ask a human being at the end of his life, sir, what did you do with your life? Oh, I slept very nicely. Yeah, what else did you? No, I slept so well. What is that? Or if he says, what did you do with your life? Oh, I ate. Yes, and I ate. And what else did you? Oh, I really ate. Is that what you did with your life? You ate? You slept? No, I had sex. Oh, really? Oh, yes, I really had sex. Yeah? Oh, I had sex. Yeah, okay, and the dogs all around you, they had sex too, so what's the big deal? Huh? No, but I lived a long time. Yeah, the tree has lived longer than you. And what is your great claim to fame? The human being who lives just for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is wasting his human form of life. He may think he's intelligent, he may flatter himself that he's intelligent. Other fools may tell him that he's intelligent, but he's a fool because he's wasted his human form of life. He's gotten the opportunity for self-realization and squandered it, wasted it. He can't be called intelligent. Suppose if you give me $1 million and I throw it away, am I intelligent if I just throw it in the sea? But we've been given the human form of life, and even one moment of that life is so valuable that for millions of dollars or millions of crowns, you can't buy it back. And we're wasting it wholesale. So how intelligent can we be? Rather, we're foolish, and we go to school to become more foolish. We don't know well enough how to waste our life, so we go to school and they help us. That's not intelligent. Intelligence is Krishna consciousness. Is that right? Yeah. Power to? How do we honor all living beings properly? By seeing them as parts of Krishna and respecting that they also have a right to live. They also have a right to live. It doesn't mean that, you know, I offer my you know, I prostrate myself before the mosquitoes or the cats and dogs. That's not the way to honor them. But I see that they belong to Krishna. And so I respect their right to live. The animals especially, they have a right to live. Why should they be harassed? Why should they be slaughtered? The trees have a right to live. Why should they be needlessly cut down? We have to respect, yes. They're also Krishna's. Just like the king's property. If you go to some park or some estate that belongs to the king, then you're respectful to that property because it belongs to the king. It's not that you salute the property or something. But you respect, yes, this is the king's property. Because of the relationship with the king, you respect the property. Or even if some ordinary person came with a message from the king, you would give great respect to that person because he's sent by the king. Yes, oh, sir, please come. What is your message? Related to the king. Is that all right? Yes. A little louder, please. There's something's buzzing in the back. I guess refrigerators or something like that. The false ego consists of our identification with the material body. Yes. Ego means I am. Latin word, I am. And false ego means a false I am. I'm falsely thinking that I am what I'm not. If I sat down here and said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Napoleon Bonaparte, you'd think I'm, quite properly, that I'm mad. Or at least deluded, because you know that I'm not Napoleon Bonaparte, and if I'm thinking that I am, then I'm thinking I'm somebody I'm really not. Similarly, I'm thinking that I'm John Smith or that I'm American or Indian or white or black, I'm thinking I'm something I'm not because I'm not this body. That means I'm deluded by false ego. I'm thinking that I am when I'm not. Is that all right? Yes. How could intelligence be a material element? Because? Yes, in the spiritual world there's intelligence. In the spiritual world there's air. In the spiritual world there's water. In the spiritual world there's fire. In the spiritual world there's everything. But it's the eternal counterpart of the material copy. The material world, what we see is like a reflection of the reality. And in the spiritual world, the reality is there. So there's spiritual water, here there's material water. Here the water is temporary. Here the water is polluted also. Here the water is imperfect. There the water is described, that the water tastes like nectar. Here the water, if we're doing well, doesn't taste like anything. But there, all the water is nectar. So, everything is there in its real form, and everything is here in the false form. So there's false ego, false intelligence, false everything. And the real version is there in the spiritual world. Is that okay? Real intelligence is there in the spirit. There's intelligence, there's also spiritual intelligence. Now my intelligence is how to eat better, how to sleep better. That's material intelligence. And when the intelligence is directed toward Krishna, it becomes spiritual intelligence. The spiritual intelligence is there, it's just covered by material fog. When the fog is lifted, then you have your spiritual intelligence. Is that okay? Yeah.
I just wonder, the intelligence can be used in different ways. So I realized that before I came to consciousness or before I was grown up or whatever, my intelligence has changed.
Yes.
And I see things in a different way.
Yes.
Is the intelligence like a tool that you just get more and more information on how to use the tool? Like,
yes, very good. Yes, the Bhagavad Gita is telling us how to use this tool, the intelligence. The intelligence is mechanical, ultimately. That's subtle, mechanically subtle.
So the intelligence doesn't change, it's just different ways to use it.
Yes, you can say that. Anything else here? Yes?
How does this development of false ego take place?
How does it start? We can hardly figure out how it starts. It's so subtle to begin with, and to figure out when it gets started is very difficult. Like a person, he's got malaria. When exactly did his malaria start? Very hard to determine. Therefore, it's said that we've been affected by false ego since time immemorial. And since beginningless time, you can hardly find out when it started. It's hardly possible to find the beginning. Easier to find the end. Chant Hare Krishna and find the end of that material contact. Is that okay? Yes. As much as you can handle. You'll never be able to understand Krishna fully. That's not possible. Even if you had the lifetime of Brahma, it said, there's a prayer that even if one had the lifetime of Brahma or could take the whole world and smash it to powder and then count how many particles of powder were there, still you wouldn't be able to figure out Krishna. You wouldn't be able to fully understand Krishna. So if fully understanding Krishna were the requirement, we'd all fail. It's not possible. But as far as possible. Rather, we should be filled with knowledge of Krishna, filled with thoughts of Krishna. As far as, you know, like this glass is full, and if I had a little glass, well, this could be also full. So one is full with a lot of water, one's full with a little water. According to our capacity, we should just understand Krishna. We should be full in Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Yeah? That's all right. Everyone has a different taste. Someone likes to read more. Someone likes to chant more. Someone likes to serve the deity more. So we all have a different preference. Something we should read. We shouldn't be completely ignorant about Krishna. Rather, if we like to chant, then we'll also like to read about Krishna. If we like to do other service for Krishna, still we'll like to hear, we'll like to read. So, but someone may really be reading, and someone else has not so much of a taste for reading, but he reads, but he does other things more. Maybe he chants, and he also reads. And that's all right, according to your taste. But little reading should always be there. Anything else? Yes. The impersonal? Yeah, the impersonal goal of the goal of the impersonalist philosophers was also Krishna, but impersonally perceived. Well, just like, let's see. Let's say I want to go visit the powerhouse. And I know there's a powerhouse, but until I actually go there, I may not know that there's an engineer sitting in the powerhouse, turning the switches and running the dials and keeping everything going. So I have a kind of a vague conception that all the power lines end at this one place called the powerhouse. But I may not know the personality of the powerhouse, the engineer who's sitting there. So I have an impersonal conception because my knowledge is not has not yet come to that point. Or let's suppose, what's your name?
Dinesh.
So I may have suppose I've never met you, but someone says when you go to Sweden, I want you to get in touch with Dinesh. So I know that in Sweden there's some Dinesh, but I have no personal conception really. What you look like, what you do, what kind of person you are, who your family is, or what your engagement is, where you live. I really don't know very much. I just don't know. I just know that out in Sweden there's this Dinesh. Huh? Maybe I just have a name, that there's a Dinesh. But then, if I actually come to Sweden and meet you, then I know he looks like this, and he talks like this, and he's doing this sort of work, and he does... What's going on there? There's so many things that I can know about. Then my knowledge becomes personal. In without personal knowledge, I wouldn't know Dinesh from Ganesh or any other Esh. Any other, the King of England could, I could meet him and think he's Dinesh, because I don't have clear personal understanding. When I get a clear personal picture, then I know Dinesh is such and such person. And the impersonalist philosophers, not knowing the personality of Godhead, they just think, there couldn't be such a person. It must be, something without personal identity. Just because they don't have information of the personality of Godhead. Excuse me? Is it our mental creation that there's a personal identity of Krishna? No, any more than it's that Dinesh is a mental concoction. I may not know Dinesh, but that doesn't mean that there's no such person. There is. I can learn about him from his friends, his associates. There is a person, Krishna. Otherwise, where have all these other persons come from? I'm a person, you're a person. So where did we come from? Whose illusion? Whose illusion are you? Even if you think, I don't really exist, I'm a product of somebody's illusion, there must be such a somebody. And that's a crazy idea anyway, it's an illusion. Even if you think, we're illusions, then where did the illusion come from? What's the source of that illusion? Excuse me? Everything leads to Krishna. Even if you think that the world is an illusion, the illusion must come from someplace. Illusion is not nothing, it's something. If a magician performs a trick and cuts off his wife's head, that's an illusion. But the illusion has a source. The illusion came from the magician and his hocus pocus. It's not nothing, it's something. So it's not anything that's something has a source. That original source is Krishna. I'm a person, you're a person. So where'd you come from? You have your father. He had his father. His father, his father, his father. If you finally go back to the origin, you can't say, the origin was nobody. The origin must be the Supreme Father.
But Krishna has no origin, no reason to father.
Right. He is the origin, by definition. Just like this glass is resting on the table is resting on the floor is resting on the earth. Finally you get to the point, nothing else is resting on this. This isn't resting on anything else, everything else is resting on this. That's Krishna. Any other questions this evening? Another? Okay.
Your question about this attach, space. There is not an information I have heard that the one's minds that will be one can be just very easily influenced by all these kind of information that people have. Is it correct?
One whose mind is weak can be influenced by everything. people come and say, I can read the Akashic records. I know that in your past life you were Cleopatra, and now, and that boy over there, he was Mark Antony, and now you're coming together again after so many lifetimes, and it's all there in the Akashic records. And if my mind is not strong, I'll think, maybe I really was Cleopatra. For the weak-minded, there's so many. people ready to cheat you. Yes. You might call them weak-minded. Maya has taken advantage of them and convinced them that they're strong-minded even when they're foolish. You could call it strong-minded, but you might better call it stubborn. You know, someone has all the evidence in front of him. You know, everything is there. I say this is a glass. And you say, no, it's a cow. And I give you, you know, 500 different kinds of evidence that it's a glass. You say, nope, it's a cow. I don't care what you say. That's not a sign that you have a strong mind. It's a sign that you have weak intelligence. So people are denying the presence of Krishna when the presence of Krishna is manifest at every moment. That's not a sign of intelligence, it's a sign of stubbornness. Yes?
There's one thing I wonder about is that we were saying how the people study and study and they become very intelligent, but still they don't spend the Krishna day. So that I can understand clearly that that is not real intelligence. But what about those who study Krishna? Like there's a lot of academics who, you know, they study Krishna for years and years and years.
And they still don't get it. It's like somebody is, you know, deathly ill. And the doctor says, what you need is penicillin. And so that person takes up the study of penicillin. He analyzes it, he reads all the literature about penicillin, he becomes the world's expert on penicillin, but never takes it. Something like that. Sure, he could cultivate everyone. At least they're studying Krishna. There's some hope that Yeah, we're not going to hear the science of Krishna from them because they don't know what it is. But still, they're candidates for understanding Krishna consciousness, coming to Krishna. Somehow, they're attracted to Krishna, if it only as a matter of study. So, if that interest can be promoted to the level of actual, you know, if they can make the connection between what they're studying and what their life is about, then it's good for them. Yeah, bahunam janmanamante. Could take lifetimes, or it could be one lifetime. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Shall we chant a little more?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I'll take mridanga again. Krishna, Krishna. That child was so quiet all evening. That's really special. Great qualification.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Nishnubad, Bhuraman Subhari Brad, Dukacharja Shtot, Adasatashi Shimad, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Shami Miraj, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Nishnubad, Bhuraman Subhari Brad, Dukacharja Shtot, Adasatashi Shimad, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarshati Goshami Miraj, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnabrinda Ki Jai, Nama Charja Shidharidas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shukrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokopinath Sham Kundradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadeep Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamanamai Ki Jai Tusi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees.
All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.